In order therefore to comfort them, in order to give them assurance, in order to encourage them, he spoke in the chapter concerning one, the father's house, where there were many apartments or mansions. That was one of the subjects he was using to assure them. Two, he spoke to them of the prepared place for a prepared people. Three, he spoke to them of the way, the truth, and the life. Now, Thomas, by nature, by his very personality, Thomas did not accept things at face value. Don't criticize him for that. That's good. That's good. In other words, Thomas was not a gullible person. You'll have to produce just more than what your mouth says for Thomas. Huh? Look at verse 4 and 5, quick. And then somebody have chapter 20, verse 25 through 28. Just to start to remind you of the personality with which we are dealing in Thomas.
Thomas saith unto him,
Lord. Now of all, watch here. This has happened with you and me. We have been in various situations where some things are said and we do not, but for different reasons we go along like we are. It's good when you do not understand something, if the opportunity is given to you to seek clarification that you seek it. But a lot of times we do not understand, but we are afraid that asking a question will show up our ignorance. All of us are ignorant about something. And it's good to clarify and remove your ignorance by seeking clarification. Thomas was such a person. Watch here now.
Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?
Watch here. You notice what I noticed? Thomas was not only seeking for clarification. Thomas actually contradicted Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 3. Notice verse 3.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Read.
And whither I go,
watch here now. Jesus Christ says, where I go,
ye know.
Watch here.
And the
you
way
know where I go. Read that.
And the way ye know.
And the way you know. Watch Thomas now.
Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest.
You see the contradiction? Thomas said, Jesus Christ said, you know where I'm going. And you know the way. Christ said, Lord, we do not know the way. That's right. We don't know the way. Now, out of this, we are going to receive one of the greatest and most profound teaching that comes from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Because it was from this, may I call it contradiction and clarification thought, that Christ going to respond in verse 4 And through 6, read, brother.
And whither I go, you know. And the
whither
way you
I
know,
go, you know.
And the way you know.
And the way you know.
Thomas saith unto him,
Thomas
Lord.
Thomas saith unto him,
Lord.
Lord.
We know not whither thou goest.
We don't know the way.
And how can we know?
How
the way?
Can we know?
Jesus saith unto him,
Jesus saith unto him,
I am the way.
I am the way. Are we there? Read.
The truth.
I am the truth.
And the life.
I am the life.
No man cometh unto
no
the Father.
No man comes unto the Father but by me. Stop there. Ladies and gentlemen. I just said that in St. John chapter 14 and verse 6, we have one of the most fundamental, one of the greatest lessons to come from the mouth of Jesus Christ. In George Butterick's book, The Human, rather Christ and Man's Dilemma. Now this is a book written by George A. Butterick. In this book, George Butterick dedicated almost the entire book with hundreds of pages to this one verse, St. John chapter 14 and verse 6. The almost the entire book. Are you saying, Brother Mitchell, that the entire book surrounds this one verse? Yes. Are we there? In this book, he presents Jesus Christ as the sole answer to the human problem of sin, of ignorance, and the problem of mortality. Brother Mitchell explained that. In this book, he explained that Jesus Christ as the way is the only answer to man's sin. He explained that Jesus Christ as the truth is the only answer to man's ignorance. Jesus Christ as the light is the only answer to man's mortality. Wait. We are mortal. But did you know that we are not satisfied with that? We want to live forever. That's right. We are not content with being mortal. That we are going to die. When we will be mean and stingy, when it comes to a few dollars, when our life is at stake, we will spend even what we do not have. Life. Yes, we are mortal, but to solve the problem of mortality, Jesus Christ is our only answer. To solve the problem of our ignorance, are we there? When the Bible says that Jesus Christ is not only the way, Jesus Christ is the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, that is dealing with our ignorance. And among the things, you see, there will be one lesson on that, because we're not going to look. In fact, today's lesson will deal with only that Christ is the way. That's right. Mm-hmm. Yes, when it comes to Christ being the truth, there are truths we need to know. There are truths that we must know. When we do not know those truths are that truth, it carries, the ignorance carries dire consequences. Not knowing Jesus Christ and His will is what is truth. There are truths that you can be ignorant of it and still go through life. There are not much consequences. Mark it. It might help. But there are some truths. It's not like that. Some truths are imperative. They are must. When Jesus Christ says, I am the truth. Jesus Christ is saying, when you do not know Him and know His will, you're heading for destruction. That's right. It carries dire consequences. Wait. No man in his right sense can be satisfied or ought to be satisfied not knowing Christ. That is some of the implication when he said, I am the truth. But since the greater part of that lesson is for next week, let us talk about Jesus Christ is the way. May I? Man, are you there with me? Man does not merely need. Man does not merely need a way. You notice Jesus Christ didn't say, I am a way. It's important that we do not miss the implication and the awesome power of specifying making the way exclusive. It's not that I am a way. There have been many ways. Oh my God, the great Greek philosophers, Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, they have ways. Great men of Rome, Latin thinkers like Marcus Aurelius, his meditation, they have ways. Genghis Khan, in fact, the prophet Muhammad had ways. Ellen G. White had ways. The founder of the Mormon Church had a way. But those are not Jesus' way. Christ said, I am the way, not a way. Man does not need a way. Man needs the way. Wait. You see? The way. May I? There are some things that the Almighty God never give man an option in. That's the implication of the definite article. What the implication is that in traveling where God wants you to travel and in heading for that direction, of course, in the context of St. John chapter 14 and verse 6, our ultimate destination is God. You see, Christ wants to take us to God. And Christ is saying, there is no other way but Him. But you see, there are not many ways to God. Brother Mitchell, are you saying I have been wrong? Yes, you have been wrong in thinking that going to God is like going to Montego Bay. There are many routes. That's right, you have been wrong. Going to Portmore, you can take it from downtown, eh? And go through the toll, and you can take it this route and go, and you can take it from Spanish Town, eh? And you have been thinking that going to God is like that. No, sir. That's why the way. You think that going to God, you can go the Baptist way, the Methodist way, the Catholic way, the Jehovah's Witness way, the Church of Christ way. You have been wrong. That's why it is the way. There are some things that God did not give man. Never give man a choice. Can we let God's revelation speak a little more on the way? We have at least one person giving me the okay. That's right. Okay, let us hear what God's revelation says about the way. Let us turn to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 31, verse 29. Isaiah 30, 21. Isaiah 35, 8. Psalms 27, 11. We are just sort of enlightening ourselves to see what the Almighty God has to say about the way. Remember, watch it. Wait. It's important that we get context in mind. That is the passage of St. John chapter 14 and verse 6. That at the end of that particular context, when Christ says that no man cometh unto the Father, what it is telling you, that is the goal, the objective of Christ's teaching there. When he talks about I am the way, the truth, and the life, it's about how do you get to God to form a relationship. Did I say we are going to look more about the way, and I gave you a passage in the book of Deuteronomy and in Psalms? Let us hear the one in Deuteronomy.
Deuteronomy 31.
31, 29. And somebody have Isaiah 30, 21.
For
I know
that after my death,
the Almighty God is speaking to the Israelite through Moses. Moses is the one addressing the Israelite here. What we are doing is acquainting ourselves with what God's revelation says about the way. The two or three passages that we are reading here, just a few. There are dozens of passages which speak, watch here, about the way. Let us hear it, brother.
For I know that after my death, ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way.
Turn aside from what?
The way.
Turn aside from the what?
The way.
Brother Webb, that means God has a particular track. God has a particular path that they must walk or live in life. And turning away from that path meant danger to them.
The way which I have commanded you.
God had commanded them a way. Wait, sorry. The way.
Yes.
That's right. The death of travel, God's way.
Yeah.
Huh?
And evil will befall you in the latter days.
Thank you, brother. Wait. When we turn from the way, spiritual, moral evil will befall us. Huh? You want me to illustrate? Men and women within the past, well, let me not put any limitation, but especially within the past 20, 30 years, have turned from God's way when it comes to human morality. Huh? Huh? So we have now the Almighty God, the way God constitutes our body. The Almighty God never make it that a man can relate to another man sexually. Our body was not so constituted. But we have people that get so bold that they are marching all over for their right. That is the right to be abnormal and to be unnatural. As how much man has gone from the way. God has a way, morally, spiritually, religiously, God has His way. Are we there? Let us hear. So evil befall us when we turn from it. Let us hear the passage. The brothers just read Deuteronomy. Let us hear the one in Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21.
And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying.
And you shall hear a word behind you saying.
This is the way.
This is a way.
This is the way.
It has the definite article, Brother Blake.
Yes, sir.
This is the way.
Walk ye in it.
Walk. I like that. You see, there are many ways. A way can be found here or there. Another way can be found. But God's way is the way. Walk therein.
When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left.
When you turn to the right, walk in the way. When you turn to the left, walk in the way.
Amen.
Are we there? Look up 35:8, same book of Isaiah.
And an highway shall be there.
An highway shall be there.
And a way.
And a way.
And it shall be called the way of holiness.
And it shall be called what?
The way of holiness.
The way of holiness.
The unclean shall not pass over it.
The unclean, simply because, brother, the unclean no want to be clean by walking in the way.
Yeah.
Read on.
But it shall be for those.
It shall be, that is the way, shall be for those.
The way fearing men.
The way fearing men.
Though fools shall not err therein.
It will be so. Did you know that is talk about Christianity? That was a prophecy of the gospel age. And it says it will be so simple that even a fool who wants to find the way shall not err therein. Christianity is easy to be understood if you want to submit your life to Christ. Amen. That's right. Let us read another passage on the way, brother. Psalms 27, verse 11, and another brother have Jeremiah 6:16. Let us hear it.
Teach me thy way, O Lord.
Isn't that a wonderful request? Because this tells us that God has His way as against man's way. One of our wonderful, kind visitors came to watch night service, and we did not have normal watch night service because, you see, Saturday and not able to come to the Lord's Day worship. And from what I was told, in fact, a study is being tried now to set up. The person came and says they were, we sing and prayed and have a sharp lesson and went home. This person come and the person said, from what I gather, they came expecting a praise and worship. Whatever that is, I'm not sure. What I can gather over the past few years as I heard the term is that the praise and worship is where you give vent to your emotion. You clap and you do your thing and you do the reggae and that's right. You do all you want to do. You know. But get this. Men and women do not have time today to ask this vital question. Is this in keeping with God's will? Religious people are so bent in pleasing themselves, in being entertained, that asking this hell and heaven question never dawned on them. Does this, what we do in this gathering, does it represent God's way? Because that is the question. What the psalmist says?
Teach me thy way, O Lord.
Important thing. That's what we need. Teach me thy way, O God.
And lead me in a plain path.
Lead me in a plain path.
Because of my enemies.
Because of my enemies. Jeremiah 6:16. O Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
Stand ye in the ways.
Wait, I like this. Stand ye, watch your brother, in the ways.
And see.
And
ask for the old paths.
Wait. You are an inquirer. You are a seeker. God knows that there are many ways. Now, don't walk until you make inquiry from the right source.
Amen.
Stand ye in the way.
And see. And ask for the old path.
Wait. When you stand at the crossroad, religious crossroad, where there are many religions making demand upon you and making claim, God says, stand and look. And do what?
And ask for the old path.
Ask for the old path.
Where is the good way?
Where is what?
The good way.
What?
The good way.
That's what you need.
Amen.
You need the good way. And it says what?
And walk therein. And you shall find rest for your souls.
Only then you will find rest for your soul. That's right. That is Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Look at chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us hear it.
O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself.
It is not in man. It is not in man
that walketh to direct his steps.
Morally and spiritually, we need divine help and divine guidance. Are we there? What you will notice in all of these texts, the way is something definite. In all of these texts, the way is something distinct. In all of these passages we have read over the past 15 or so minutes, the way is unique. The way is exclusive. the way shuts out everything else. Are we there? This is why it is so anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-New Testament Christianity to talk about your religious way and my religious way. This is why it is so anti-Bible to talk about the church of your choice. Because in God's scheme of things, there is no such thing. Amen. The Almighty God never gives man a choice when it comes to something. That's why Jesus Christ in the passage under consideration, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to know God. Christ is the only way to God. Christ is the only way to enlightenment. Christ is the only way to forgiveness. Christ is the only way to sonship and daughtership. Christ is the only way to fellowship with God. Look here, look here. Look at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Look at it. Look at it.
Neither is there salvation in any other.
In any other?
For there is none other name.
Wait. I want to show you something here, because a lot of times you read the Bible. For there is
none other name.
Brother Webb, I'm going to shorten that. Put no other, because that's the idea. I want you to notice that none other are that no other. That's important, that it is totally exclusive. When the Holy Spirit in Paul, addressing the Jewish Sanhedrin Council, the Jewish High Court, told that Jewish gathering who did not accept the gospel and accept Christ, told them that there is no other. Haven't I heard a lot that name does not matter? I've always asked the question, to whom does it not matter?
Yeah.
But let me move on to where, notice this no other. Brothers and sisters, the concept there of no other doesn't mean only no other person. P-R-S-O-N. That's right. No other person. That is there. But what that passage means, everything that comes with Jesus Christ for man's salvation, the passage is teaching you don't have any other. Well, no other. There is no other plan of salvation but Jesus Christ. The passage includes that. And in a little while, I'm going to show you. There is no other church but the one Christ built. Do you want me to show you? Do you want me to show you that He is not going to save Jews and Gentiles in two different churches, two different denominations, but they are going to be saved in not only one, but the same church. You want me to show you? Not only that there is no other plan of salvation, there is no other church. When the Bible says about this, no other. There is no other true worship. But the worship as seen in the New Testament church. When you and I find worship where we are entertained, things are done there to please you. You have Bob Marley guitar, and you have the piano, and you have the this and the that, and you are entertained. In fact, in many of these churches, you have more dancing than at club halls. And you notice today how the rhythm that they give to a lot of the religious song is the reggae rhythm. You see? Because men want to find in religion what they claim to walk away from at the dance hall. So they find churches that supply this, not knowing that that is not worship. What are you on, Brother Mitchell? The biblical no other. Not only that, there is no other Savior, there is no other plan of salvation, there is no other worship. Huh? But what you know? There is no other teaching. Wait. Turn to the book of is it 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3? Turn to it, brother. Quick. We are dealing with the no other.
If any man teach otherwise.
Brother Wayne, you notice the no other there? you notice it? Watch it. Okay, wait. Don't come to me with Baptist teaching. Don't come to me with Roman Catholic teaching. Don't come to me with Seventh-day Adventist teaching, Jehovah's Witness teaching, Methodist teaching, Pentecostal teaching. Come to me with the teachings of Christ.
Amen.
Because Jesus Christ would have no other teaching but His. Brother Mitchell, you interrupt the brother. Thank you for reminding me. Let us hear the no other.
If any man teach otherwise.
Any man teach otherwise.
And consent not to
wholesome
words.
And if that person does not consent to.
Wholesome words.
Somebody said, Brother Mitchell, you notice there it still has not yet specified. Thank you for reminding me. But let us listen a little further. If any man teach otherwise and does not consent to wholesome word, what is wholesome word?
Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Wait, stop there, brother. We need to rest there. Remember a while ago, Brother Webb, I was talking about the no other? That passage is telling you that when you come with any teaching other than the teachings of Jesus Christ, further down, it's going to tell you that you are ignorant, you are and you are this and you are that, and that the true followers of Christ must not have any fellowship with that person or that institution. Brother Mitchell explained. In Jesus' teaching, baptism is immersion. There is no other baptism that places one in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Than burial. But then you go up there and you find a few church that will sprinkle a little water and they call it confirmation and they say that's baptism. You see, the Bible said no other. You get the point? No other. The Bible makes it plainer, you know. Oh, Lord, if I follow Just spend all the time. The Bible makes it plain. Now let us turn to the book of 2 John. It has one chapter, verse 10. Let us hear it. Let us hear it. 2 John. It has only one chapter.
If there come any unto you.
If there come any unto you.
And bring not this doctrine.
What, brother?
And bring not this doctrine.
What, brother? THIS, this?
Doctrine.
This doctrine. Wait. And bring not this?
Doctrine.
That's specific. Isn't that right, Matthew Blake?
Amen.
That this doctrine means no other doctrine.
Amen. Amen.
We are still talking about the way, you know. That's right. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Give me a few more minutes, Lord, please. Let me hear verse 9.
Whoever transgresseth and abideth.
Anyone who transgresseth.
And abideth not in the doctrine of Christ.
The what?
The doctrine of Christ.
The what?
The doctrine of Christ.
Brother Blake, were you here 10 minutes ago when I said, don't bring me Mohammed doctrine? Seventh-day Adventist doctrine. Pentecostal doctrine.
Amen.
Bring me the doctrine of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Read that again.
Whoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God.
Like, you can say to me, if you have studied God's word and believe it and understand it, and see that I'm walking in religious ways, not in keeping with the gospel, you can in a nice way say, you know, Mr. Mitchell, you are not a child of God, as religious as you are. And you may say, I may say, why are you judging? No, you judge yourself.
Amen. Amen.
I'm only using God's word to measure you and to point out to you, you have not measured up. Whenever we obey religious teachings that are contrary to the gospel, we are not children of God.
Amen. Amen.
It matters not how convinced we are that we are sleeping with God every night. That's right. Oh, Lord, give me a few minutes to go on a little further now, please. Part of man's major problem universally. We are still talking about that first point of Christ. I am the way. Part, and that is, I pointed out that Jesus Christ is the only one that can solve man's sin problem. When he said, I am the way, that's the idea, the consideration there. The way to forgiveness, the way to sonship and daughtership, the way to fellowship with God. Part of man's major problem universally is man's tendency to deny the existence of sin. And man does that in many ways. I've had the experience many times over the past few years where you cannot say or imply to some people that they are sinners. They don't want to hear that. They believe they are above that. But none of us is above that. We are sinners. God says, all have sinned and come short of His characteristic. The Bible also says, let God be true and every man be a liar. Man's tendency to deny the existence of sin. Man's tendency to face up to his or her own sin. There are circles today, large circles in various societies, that feel that if human beings can only succeed in shaking off the chains that bind them, they talk about if they can find a way to shake off the political chains, the economic chain, the social chain, and the psychological inhibition, they will be all right. That is the utopian society that can be created here on earth, can be created if man can just shake up certain chains, free him up economically, free him up psychologically, and free him up in these areas. And once you do that, you would give man a chance to create an heaven on earth. And this business about sin, there's no such thing as sin creating our problem. No. It's just these chains. Brothers and sisters, throughout history, every such imaginary utopia, society, or if I may, utopian ship, where men and women think that if you give them a chance to create a perfect society, we don't need anything but this life. We can live here forever in our sin. There is no such thing as sin. Every such imaginary utopian ship that is to deny sin, to deny that man needs God's help, every such attempt, and if I may, to have that ship sail and arrive, all those ships are split up and sunk upon the hidden reef of human sinful nature. Sooner or later, something going to happen in history to tell man that human being is sinful and wicked. This great piece of writing, Ben-Hur, most of us have seen the movie in the past, by Lew Wallace and others. It grew out of this. That's right. It grew out of the attempt to discredit the Bible. Where one man went in search, and out of that came probably one of the greatest pieces of literature in modern time, showing that man does need God. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. The universal experience of humanity in every age has demonstrated that whatever of the good, of the pure, of the genuine, and of the beautiful that men have discovered, we have come to understand it all arrived from Him who is the way, Jesus Christ. Brother Mitchell, I didn't get that. Thank you for telling me. The universal experience of humanity throughout the ages demonstrates that whatever of the good, found in any of us. Whatever of the pure that is found in any human being. Whatever of genuine and the beautiful that men and women have discovered, all of it derived from Jesus Christ, who is the way. All of it. All of it. Man's sin problem is solved only in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ alone reveals man's sin. Jesus Christ alone ransoms man from the destruction of sin. Jesus Christ alone remits sin. Jesus Christ alone removes man from the practice of sin. Jesus Christ alone overrules sin to benefit man. Sin is a fact. And when Jesus Christ says, I am the way, meaning I am the only way to deal with your sin, the only way to get you to God in a pure, forgiven, clean state, don't seek for other ways. There is none. There is none. As we close, what Jesus Christ asked is that on the condition only and always is that sinner yield. That sinner yield obedience to Jesus Christ and walk in Jesus' way because Jesus is the way. That's all he seeks. That's all he asks. That you yield obedience to him. And that you walk in the way because he is the way. And outside of Jesus Christ and the gospel, there is no other way. Christ is inevitable. You can accept Christ this morning. You can come submitting to Christ's will, that you accept him and his teaching as the only way back to God. The only way to deal with your sin problem. The only way to deal with your estrangement problem. You and God are estranged. You are apart. Wait. That you bow down on your knee and pray every day does not mean that God hears your prayer. Wait, I go further. That you feel that God heard your prayer. Have you heard what God says? Dozens of places in his word. Now I know that God does not hear the prayer of sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God, him he hears. That means you must live a life of worship. You can come to Christ today. Why you need to? He is the way. His plan of salvation is part of the way. True worship is part of the way. We're going to stand and sing now. As we sing a song to the honor and glory of God's name, it is a chance for you to step forward, wanting to find out, what must I do to be saved? This is the question that you hear all over the book of Acts of the Apostles. What? Acts of the Apostle is the book of conversion. And throughout the book, that was the question asked. What must I do to be saved? We are here today to help you. Jesus Christ is ready to forgive you. As we stand, you can be a part of the way back to the Almighty God. Come believing that is a must. You must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Come repenting. You must repent. That's a part of the way. Christ himself said, except you repent, you too will perish. You must not only repent, you must come confessing the name of Christ. He said, if you're ashamed to confess him here, he will be ashamed to confess you on that day. And you must come baptizing. You must submit yourself to be buried. Yes. The only baptism that God left here for us is immersion in the water. Buried under the water. It symbolizes Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection according to Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 5.